Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
You may take your seats. We've been pressing into the glory. We've been pressing into how to relate to the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful glory of God on His church. Something happened here last Sunday night that I just want to share with you shortly. Last Sunday night, as we were worshiping, God opened the realm of the glory to me, and I don't know how to explain it, but all I can say, it's like there was a veil of eternity, a thin veil of the glory like that, and it was like a thin plasma veil that I could step through. And as I stepped into that, I realized that this is what God's been promising the church. That the day is coming that the whole church is going to step into that wholeness, and we're going to see a corporate healing from the front to the back, from the head to the toe, people completely made whole. It's a realm that I've never experienced. And I'm so excited because I know what God has prepared for the church. And if there's one thing that I'm praying, God, I want the whole church to experience that. I want to bring the whole church into that. And I believe that that's what God's prepared. As I said, we are living in the last days. The last days is the days where the Bible says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And that knowledge will be distributed through us. People will see you and come to experience the glory. Come to experience what the glory means. And as I stepped into the realm, only once before have I experienced that. It's about 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago. The one morning I was on the platform with Sister Nelly, and she was leading the worship, and suddenly the whole atmosphere shifted. And that same veil, that same thin veil was there. And like you could touch, and you felt like at any moment, if you just step in there, you'll just be taken. It's the most glorious realm. That's why Paul says it's indescribable. And it's the most beautiful thing there is the glory of the Lord. And He's prepared us. And as I say, the church is prepared. He's been preparing the church through the ages for such a time as this. He's restored, as I said, He's restored the fivefold ministry. He's restored all the different truths. He's restored all of them so this end time church can step into the fullness. Because we're at the moment where the church is going to be perfected. And this week, one morning while I was praying, I suddenly started seeing something else. This realm where the church is being perfected is the time where you'll see Jesus return. Hallelujah. My. Woo, glory. And as we're stepping into this, that's my prayer for you. And I want to encourage you as a church, press in. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Worship. Spend time around the Word. Don't get distracted. Don't let the enemy entice you into all kinds of pursuits, but pursue Him. There's nothing more wonderful. When I stepped into that realm, it was the most incredible thing. It's like there was this veil that I was stepping into and stepping out of. And during the week, I had 3 times where I just remembered that, and immediately my whole body starts shaking and just the glory. When I phoned Sister Nelly, I said, Sister Nelly, I experienced it one more time, that thing that we experienced last time. I just wept on the phone. Because that's what God created us for. Hallelujah. And in this week, every time I experience it 3 more times, every time I pray, suddenly that realm is there. And I realize something, that in the kingdom, God sets principles and things in place. And that's why He's been teaching us about the glory. Because in the kingdom of God, there's consequence. It's not hit and miss. Today, gravity works. Tomorrow, gravity doesn't work. Today, if you touch a hot plate, it burns you. Tomorrow, it freezes you. It doesn't work like that. There's consequence. There's definite results. And God is, what is God doing? Right now, he's busy releasing the keys to unlock. And the anointing is on you to step in through those doors. Hallelujah. And I'm convinced I stepped in and I stepped out. When I stepped in, I saw things. You can see so clearly. And I'm convinced that we're going to step in and then just keep walking. Like Johnny Walker. Keep walking. We're not going to be intoxicated with Johnny Walker, but we're going to walk. Walk in the glory. Walk in that presence. Walk in that power. Walk in that fulfillment. The realm of glory is completion. Absolute wholeness. I don't know how else to explain it. But God is preparing us as a church. And so as he's doing it, we must be like the five wise virgins who kept our lamps full. Keep the oil. Hallelujah. Abide in his presence. As I said before, remember when I had that hanky on my shoulder, put it there. The Holy Ghost come and stays. I had one day this week, I was, I went to go see my dad because those of you know, my youngest brother passed away in December and on Wednesday would have been his birthday. And so I didn't want my dad to be alone. So I flew up to be with him for the day. And we spent the day with him. And at a certain time, I started feeling like fretty and stressy. So what's going on here? And I realized I've stepped out of that presence. And immediately I just stepped back in peace. Hallelujah. The presence of God. And we've been talking about how to relate to the Holy Ghost, how to have him abide. And we spoke about three things the Bible says that we must not do. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And do not insult the Holy Spirit. And when we spoke about do not grieve the Holy Spirit, we discovered that grieving the Holy Spirit has got everything to do with relationship, your vertical relationship with God, choosing sin over his presence, and your horizontal relationship of how you relate to other people. Remember, spoke about that, how the Holy Ghost grieves and you got unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, wrath, all those kind of things in your heart. And it's relational. Then we spoke about, last week we spoke about do not quench the Holy Ghost. And quenching's got to do everything to do with unbelief. It's got everything to do with not responding to the Holy Ghost. He says to do something, you say later or not now. And we discovered that grieving affects your relationship with God. But quenching affects your inheritance in God. Because the Bible says they could not enter because of their unbelief, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. God is limited when you quench. Hallelujah. Man, there's an anointing right now on that. I want you to just raise your hands. The Holy Ghost is saying something about quenching right now. He's going to empower you right now. I release, the Holy Ghost is releasing a boldness by his Spirit. And there shall be no more quenching. In the mighty name of Jesus, he will move on you. Lord, I thank you. You'll instruct the way to go. Your spirit will move. And God says, as you simply respond and say what he's laying in your heart to say, and act out what he's giving you to do, the inheritance will come. Huh. That's what he's come to do. He's come to establish the promise in your life. And there won't be quenching. Sabon de Gera. Just stay there for a moment. Just stay. Just stay with the Holy Ghost. You've not given us spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Lord, not one will be intimidated this week. But Lord, I thank you for just a thrust of boldness. The presence, the faith of God released from our hearts this week. And God says inheritance will come. Amen. Hallelujah. So you're going to see the inheritance of God. You're going to see the promise of God manifest and start to roll out. And so we spoke about how quenching the Holy Ghost got everything to do with your inheritance. And today I want to just spend a few moments and talk to you about the other thing the Bible says. It says, do not grieve him, do not quench him, and do not insult the Holy Ghost. Of the three, insulting is very serious. Now, when you look at grieving him, insulting him, or quenching him, those three things, there's the opposite that the Bible does say to do. It's nice to know what not to do. Amen. But it's also nice to know what to do. So I need to learn how to respond. And we spoke about the fact that when you grieve him, you actually endanger your fellowship. When you quench him, you endanger your inheritance. But the fact that when you insult him, you actually endanger your covenant, your salvation. It is the one sin that the Bible says the unpardonable sin, if you fully step into that. And I realized when I was teaching, when I was ministering this a bit earlier at Wentworth, that I haven't taught on the unpardonable sin for quite a while. And I think it's about 3 years ago I taught on that. And I asked the people, how many of you have heard me teach on the unpardonable sin? And I was surprised to see how many people have not yet heard that. How many of you have heard my teaching on the unpardonable sin? All right. So I'm not going to switch and go that way. But I hope that you just glean something from this. When the Spirit of God leads me, I will teach on that. Be it just for the sake of people not now getting stressed, is that if you're under conviction, you've not committed the unpardonable sin, because conviction is a work of the Holy Ghost. If you're convicted, it means the Holy Ghost is still with you, have not committed the unpardonable sin. Is that okay? All right, let's just leave it there. Now, when the Bible speaks about do not insult him, it speaks about Hebrews 10:29. It speaks about an unrepentant heart refusing to receive instruction and insulting the Spirit of grace. In other words, God comes and he speaks in his grace and his kindness. You take advantage of his grace. And are you gracious? I'll continue with what I'm doing. Now, when the Bible speaks about that, it says in Hebrews 10:29, of how much more, thank you, Brother Louis, of how much more worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot into a place where you say the name of Jesus is not important, you know. And then he says, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. In other words, you say, well, the blood has cleansed me, but I refuse to be cleansed. It's a common thing. I will not be cleansed of this sin. I will continue in it. Trampled it underfoot. He said, and insulted the Spirit of grace. You insult the Holy Ghost if you think that you're good enough for him to come, but you hold on to sin. You insult him because he is holy. Amen. And you are saying that the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the sacrifice, the cost, the costliness of your salvation is not necessary at all. You are good enough. And you actually invite him to come and inhabit a temple that's not washed with the blood. Hallelujah. A life that's not filled with the Spirit. So when he's talking about these things, the Bible speaks about these three things not to do. And so I don't want to be in that place. Listen, any move where people tell you, how do you know that you are listening to people who are in danger of this very thing? They are people who neglect the foundations of the gospel. Hebrews 6, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works. I'm amazed to hear how many of these modern moves nowadays say you don't need to repent. If they tamper with a foundation, they're insulting the Spirit of grace. Your life is founded on the blood of Jesus. Of a life that has turned and come to him. Hallelujah. And the fact that some people still got some sins in their lives doesn't mean that you can do it. Because the Spirit of grace has empowered you to get free from that. Hello? So you don't go back there. Amen? When the Holy Spirit works in your life, the result is holiness. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said when the Holy Ghost works in your life, the result is holiness. You are changed into the image of Christ. Hallelujah. And so when I'm walking with God, I need to be sure that I respond to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I yield to the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches us to walk with the Holy Ghost. It says three things do not do. Do not grieve him. Do not insult. Do not quench him. Do not insult him. But then there's the three opposites to that. Do not grieve him has got the opposite of love him. Do love him. Do not quench him has got the opposite of do respond to him. And do not insult him has got the opposite of honor him. So if I want to learn how to walk in the glory, how to stay in his presence, do love him, do respond to him, and do honor him. And now if you look at those three, do love him, do respond to him, do honor him, what do you actually got? Worship. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says God is seeking for those who will worship him. John 4, verse 23, but the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipers, so if there's true worship, there's false worship. Amen. Where the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such. Such what? Which ones? The ones who worship in spirit and in truth to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In worship, I learn to be responsive to him. In worship, God can reveal himself to me because God is spirit and I'm worshiping him in spirit. Hallelujah. True worship brings a greater revelation of God. Amen. There's some people who think worship is, I love you, I love you, I love you. Love is good. And in worship, you do tell God you love him. But there are people who are not born again who sing, I love you, I love you, I love you. My mom and dad had a family of Mormons come there by their farm one day. And they had a CD. And, you know, at that time, my mom and them weren't very educated in the things of God. And they gave them their CD. And they tell them, oh, we've got this wonderful CD of worship. I said, really? So they played me the CD. And the CD is, I love you, and all but love, and love, and love. But I'm listening to it. Something is not right. Something is not right. What's not right? Jesus is not there. The blood is not there. The name of God is not there. True worship honors God, exalts his name. Hallelujah. Reveals his name. True worship worships Jesus, honors the cross, honors the blood. Hallelujah. And I said, so they said to him, now what must we do with this? I said, throw the thing away. Break it. But the songs are so beautiful. You know, there are many songs people sing. It's got nothing to do with God. God's not being worshipped. In church, it's all about me, how I feel. True worship is a worship in spirit that contacts God who is spirit, who reveals himself to my spirit. Hallelujah. And I get a revelation of him. Worship is an activity of your spirit. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We were created to worship. God loves worship. And that's why worship is such an important part of the glory. Because, as I said, it involves all the three do's. Love him, do respond to him, and do honor him. Hallelujah. We are designed to worship everything about you. The Bible says God is seeking those who will worship him. We are designed for worship. From the moment he created you to worship. Why? Because worship's a place of the deepest fellowship there is possible. Hallelujah. You're designed to worship. Everything about you is designed. I mean, there's melody in you. Amen. Somebody sings a song, you sing with. The melody affects you. I was just talking about how I go with my wife and we went to go see the movie Wonder Woman. And there they got a certain song they're singing, and she's singing with. I said, stop singing. I'm watching a movie. No, but she's singing with. And wherever we go, because music affects you. Music changes the atmosphere around you. Music changes your attitude. Amen. I was just talking to my sister because she's got a wimpy. And she says, Johnny, yes, there's a science to music. You know that in the wimpy, they got certain music at certain time. In the morning for breakfast, it's fast music because they want you in and out. There's others coming. It's like, it affects you. She says when it comes to about 10 o'clock, the music changes. It's calm, relaxed, because they don't want the wimpy to be empty. They want people to see there's people sitting. So you stay, you linger, and you stay there because it affects you. Have you seen that? Just a certain melody can just change your whole attitude. Amen. Just everything about you changes because we've been created with this music in us. Hallelujah. You're a musical being. Hallelujah. Have you found that when you love somebody, you want to sing to them? I wrote love songs to my wife when I first met her. Hallelujah. Amen. And then think of you. Everything about you is designed for worship. Amen. Think of a beat, rhythm. You know. I see some of you going. Amen. Because it's in us. Amen. You're designed. I mean, clapping your hands. You're designed for that. You don't have to teach a child to clap his hand. A baby. When he's happy, even little feet will clap. Because happy, you don't have to teach him to clap. Amen. There's a response. There's something in you that worships. Hallelujah, your whole being. Amen. You think about even lifting hands. You know, don't tell me, well, I don't really lift my hands. Listen, when your favorite soccer team scores a goal, nobody tells you, yay! Amen? I mean, that's it. And if it's really happy, yay. Hallelujah. There's dancing, there's clapping, there's singing, there's rejoicing, there's lifting the hands. We designed that way. Amen. So I worship him. I worship him in spirit. I worship him in truth. I focus on him. And one of the easiest ways to get many times you wake up and you don't feel like it. How many of you have had times you don't feel like it? Don't put up your hands. That happens. But you know what you do? You assume the posture of worship. I say I'm here to worship in spirit and truth. What those words are saying, I'm not just going to sing them. I'm not going to be at a song. I'm going to make it my words. I'm going to say those words. I'm going to mean those words. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to clap. And within a little while, you're worshiping. Hallelujah. So we do that because God has created us for worship. Hallelujah. And as I said, this is a mighty move of God that is upon us, and worship is crucial. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, there's certain, the presence of God provokes a response in us. The first thing that happens when the presence of God comes is an awakening, a consciousness of him. We come and we start praising and you become conscious. Hallelujah. God is here. Then the second thing it does, it changes my attitude. The presence of God changes my attitude. Or I'm not talking about, you know, attitude or good attitude, bad attitude. I'm talking about a posture change. The way you are. You're there. When the presence comes, the handcuffs. Hallelujah. You stand up. The posture changes. That's how I know many times. I watch the congregation. I'll see if you're ready for the word. Amen. We worship till the posture changes. Because the posture is an acknowledgement of Him. Hallelujah. It's when your spirit gets in contact with Him and it's no longer about these things. Amen. I'm not trying to get into traditionalism. You do 3 Hail Marys, roll 15 times and do all this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a response to the presence. Hallelujah. You know, this is something that happens worldwide in any nation, in any country, with any judicial system, no matter where you go. You'll find this one truth, that when there's a court, when the judge walks in, everybody stands. Don't care who you are, whether you're guilty, whether you're the accused, whether you're the accuser, whether you're the lawyer, whether you're the advocate, whether you're the bailiff, whether you're the, no matter what you're of, when the judge walks in, you stand. Because it's an acknowledgement of His authority. Hallelujah. You acknowledge the judge's come in. You respond to His authority. If you don't stand up, you'll be thrown out. Amen. So there's a response that comes. And so my posture changes. You know, I might be in church and I watch some people standing, got their hands on the thing in front of them. But when the presence comes, it changes. Hallelujah. Refusing to respond is actually refusing to acknowledge the authority of the judge who's entered. So I enter and I worship Him. Hallelujah. I respond to Him. And that's why I tell you the best thing you can do in this week. God has spoken earlier on about when we spoke about quench. He spoke about something that's going to happen this week. When you get into any situation this week, change the atmosphere to worship. Then the judge will come in and he'll make judgment on your behalf. Hallelujah. No matter what. When things go bad, don't get pulled into it. Amen. Don't get drawn into it. Don't get drawn into the fight. Don't get drawn. Just step into the worship. Hallelujah. Change your posture. Because the moment you do, you're acknowledging the judge. And shall not the judge of the whole earth deal justly, the Bible says. And when he comes in, judgment is made on behalf of the saints. Hallelujah. When his glory is there, the favor is yours. You say, well, doesn't it matter whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong? No, it matters that you're the heir. My son has done many things wrong in his life, but he's still the heir. It shall never be taken from him. Everybody lift your hand and say, I'm still the heir. Hallelujah. So when I step into a posture of worship, I bring the presence of God. Hallelujah. And this week is going to be the week of the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands. I sense such a mighty anointing, such a presence of God. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your touch. I thank you that in this week, my God, that you'll manifest your glory. Make yourself known and confirm the inheritance of the saints. We thank you for your mighty power. Lord, when we start worshiping you, we drag a whole atmosphere into the glory. We drag the whole situation into your presence. And I thank you for your mighty blessing. I thank you for your hand on each and every one. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you already know the things that you prepared for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Now bless each and every one. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this week we will abide, we will linger. Father, that in this week, I pray that each and every one starts experiencing that realm of your glory, starts stepping into it. Father, we thank you that you bring us as a whole church. Worship's the one thing we can do as a whole church, everybody together, Lord, with the same revelation of you, the same honor, the same time. And I bless you, Lord, in this week for your presence and your mighty touch. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you, there's been things happening, but I see the glory of God resting on you and the powers of darkness just falling from you, just breaking off from you, releasing you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands one more time. Say, yes, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I thank you. You created me to be a carrier of your glory. This week, Lord, I declare in Jesus' name, your glory shall be made manifest and shall be made known. And Lord, the time has come where there shall be no more delay, where the saints, the inheritors, shall step into the fullness, shall step into that which you have prepared. In the mighty name of Jesus, it shall not be denied. It shall not be kept from you. Because in the presence of God, there is revelation. There is revelation. I see the Spirit of God pour out revelation. Pour out revelation, causing you to see and perceive the things that He has prepared. And as you perceive that, and as you grab a hold of that, He will manifest it in your life. Lord, I thank you for sudden miracles, sudden manifestation. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes, wonderful Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just be saturated for a few moments. Oh, His presence is so beautiful. Living waters. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. You know, just one final thing. Worship, set your desire. Set your heart on what you desire. And this desire of His presence causes God to say, I'll fill that desire. The fullness will fill that desire. That's why, you know, we cut off the other things, because sometimes people deep in their hearts, their desire is for things. The desire is for, you know, the money and the car and all that. But the desire is God. The desire is for His presence. The desire is for His glory. And God shares His glory only with those whose hunger is for Him. Because He knows if He gives you anything outside of the glory, it will pull you away. The most precious thing we have is His presence. Come and just raise your hand one more time. We thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for revealing to us to love you, to respond to you, to honor you. This week, Lord, as your saints does so, we thank you that you take each and everyone from glory to glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just pray in tongues for a few moments. I believe the Holy Ghost is working. Let Him saturate you. That's the Spirit of God bringing revelation, dropping by His Spirit. Understanding of the things of the Spirit. Lord, let our eyes be enlightened. Let us know. Let us perceive. Shanda kesadanda, ipala badira, mesendra sikeno boti ata inero botsatai. Oh, it's your glory. Oh, it's your presence. Thank you for the reward of your glory. Oh, it shall not be denied. It is our reward. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's an impartation of the glory. There's a down payment, the beginnings of the revelation of the glory of God given to us, His saints. We bless you, Father. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Now every eye closed, every head bowed for a few moments. Oh, man, the glory of God. Woo. Okay, let's just go with it. The Holy Ghost is moving. Just enjoy Him for a few moments. The oil of joy, the oil of gladness. Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. I got a word for somebody with a school. Is that Cheryl? God says to you, stand up. God says to you, daughter of mine, it's impossible for your dream to be bigger than mine. Don't scale down. Don't back down. There's things about to be released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes you think, well, am I, you've been thinking, am I grabbing too far? Am I believing for too much? God says it's impossible for your dream to be bigger than His. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hey. The things that are possible with God shall be established in Jesus' name. Now every eye closed, every head bowed. You yet today say, Pastor Johnny, my life's not right with God. Can you pray for me? You've come into this place. You feel far from God. You sense His presence here and say, I desire to know Him. It's the Holy Ghost that put the desire in you. The Spirit of God drew you here because He loves you too much to leave you in that state. But if you believe on Him, He will wash you with His blood and He'll give you a brand new beginning. You say, Pastor Johnny, I'll need a new beginning in Jesus. Pray for me. I want to make right with God. If that's you all over this place, I want to include you in my prayer. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now in Jesus' name. Say, Pastor John, include me in your prayer. I want to make right with God. Thank you over there. Anybody else? Thank you over there. Thank you over there. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Right back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over this place. Here I am. I'm making right. Thank you right at the back. Now, you got your hands raised. Raise them right up. If you've not yet raised, raise them now. I'm going to pray. Father's hands are raised. They're acknowledging you. They're acknowledging the King. They're acknowledging the Savior. And I bless them. In the name of Jesus, I cancel every assignment against you. And I command the blessing of God. I thank you for your hand on them. Now, you got your hands raised. Quickly stand all over this place. Stand up quickly where you are. Don't just put your hand down. Don't stay where you are. Stand up all over this place. Right at the back. All over there. Come quickly. I want to pray with you. Quickly, everybody, come. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank God for them. You can step out of the aisle and come. Step into the aisle. Come to the front. We're going to pray with you. You know, a while ago, somebody said, Pastor, why do you make them come to the front? They have to walk in front of all that people. It's daunting. It's the easiest place to walk for Jesus. In church, where everybody's happy. Out there in the world, they're not happy. Yeah, we're happy. Amen. So, it's actually an acknowledgement of Jesus. You know what God says to you today? He took note that you honored Him. And your name is now in His Lamb's Book of Life. And all those curses, all those things that the enemy tried to do for you, canceled in the mighty name of Jesus. I apply the blood to your life. Whew. He's restoring you. I hear God saying you're a daughter of His, royalty. In the mighty name of Jesus, He's raising you up. Hallelujah. It's giving you a place of honor. Hallelujah. 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 Is there anybody else? You say, Pastor Johnny, I did not raise my hands, or I did not come to the front, but I do feel that I need to be in front. I want to make right with God today. I feel my spirit. There's two of you still sitting there. Who are they? I'm waiting for you. God is waiting for you. Don't leave the way you came. He loves you today. You say, Pastor Johnny, I need to make right with God today. If that's you, quickly, who's that person? Hallelujah. Somewhere, yeah. Who's that person? Or you might be backslidden and you need to make right with God. You can do that. Who's that person? Am I looking at you? I won't pick you out. I can see you. Okay. Two more minutes. Come on, stretch out your hands towards them. God loves you. I want those of you in front, lift your hand like this. Might feel strange, okay? But it's a sign of surrender. You're acknowledging Him. Okay. Close your eyes and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. And I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to wash away my sins. I'm a sinner. And I ask you, forgive me. By faith, I receive the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. Lord Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. You are the Son of the living God. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I renounce the devil. I renounce my old life. I cut it off. And I serve you from today. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you now. I release your precious anointing on these lives. Thank you for your mighty power. In Jesus' name, all things have passed away and all things become brand new. I bless them. Amen. Now, those of you standing in front, look at me for a moment. When you said, Jesus, I give you my life, He heard you. He values you. He wants you to be saved. And that's why He heard you. From today.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, you can visit us on our Durban Christian Center Bluff or Wentworth Facebook page, or contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.